Welcome to another OUInsider.com podcast. I'm RJ Young. That's Brandon Drum. Let's go through junior day. Let's go through coaching changes and a whole hell of a lot else. Brandon, how you doing?
I am doing great, man. Just ready for this to die down a bit, man. I'm ready for a break. I'm not going to lie. I'm ready for a break.
All right. Well, let's start with junior day then, because there's a lot going on at junior day. Picked up a commitment, 2021 offensive lineman, Cullen Montgomery out of Bel Air, Texas, Houston Episcopal, where Lincoln Riley is familiar.
Yeah. No, look, he was a really good – I spoke to a guy I do CBS Sports Radio, Matt Reynolds, yesterday, and he was like, hey, I know that kid really well. And I was like, how? And he goes, well, he's a massive kid. He's really good at basketball. And when you watch his film, you can see it. I mean, you can see his feet. He's really, really agile for somebody that's, I think he's like 6'7", something like that. I mean, he's a large human being, and he's a really, really good athlete. It's a really good pickup. I say to people, he's 6'5", 315. I say to people, don't look at his star rankings, because I think that's going to be adjusted here in the near future. Look at his offers. And they were legit offers. I mean, you had Michigan, you had Oklahoma, you had
A&M,
Alabama. He had 27 total. So, I mean, Florida State, Georgia. You go through this list, and it's a who's who of in college football world. Ohio State, A&M, TCU, Oregon. I mean, everybody wanted this guy. Everybody thinks the world of him. And he, his film, his junior film, is ridiculous. So – he basically looks like he should be in jail for what he's doing to some of those guys, just abusing them. It's a really good pickup and yet another sign of Bill Beatenbow just cleaning house on the offensive line.
No, I enjoyed the pickup because I looked at him and I said, okay, I see what you're good at. Your natural right tackle fit, down blocking, run blocking, a mauler, finishes all of his blocks. Now, it's difficult to evaluate offensive linemen as big as he is because he's just so much bigger than the people he's beaten up on. I mean, Houston Episcopal was playing in taps, I want to say, not too long ago, but also tremendous alumni. Even recently, Shane Carden came out of there, famously played for Lincoln Riley at East Carolina. Jalen Waddle came out of there. We all know he's playing wide receiver at Alabama. DeAndre Jordan played basketball there, right? So it's becoming a sort of powerhouse of sorts. They also have Donovan Jackson. Thank you, Ohio State commit. So each one of their tackles are committed to Oklahoma and Ohio State. Good luck, Texas high school football. Like,
yeah,
goodness me.
Nobody's touching the quarterback from the edges.
And you mentioned that he's a good puller. Tremendous feet. I would like to see his feet get better, but I say that about all offensive linemen coming out of high school.
Yeah, but he's a really good basketball player, so you know it comes natural to him. That's a good thing. That means that he's going to be able to get better because he's already played a sport that footwork is just such a high priority. So he's going to be able to translate to the college level very well.
So that was the one commitment out of junior day. Mm-hmm. And this was also where we saw 2021, 2022 kids there. You had a tremendous post with notes going. What were some of the things that stuck out to you?
You know what? I'm a big fan of Choctaw's DB, Jordan Mukes. And the more I get to know about him, the more I watch him, the more I hear what some other college coaches think of that kid. He's going to have so many offers. And I think Oklahoma will be one of those offers here in the spring, summer-wise. And they're well aware of that. I mean, I know his coach Carter, and I talk to him quite often, and he told me on the phone the other day, he said, look, he knows the deal with Oklahoma. He knows that he's raw. He knows that he's got a lot to work on, a lot to prove, and there's a lot of work to be done. That was straight out of their mouths. There's a lot of work to be done. They want that OU offer so bad. They want offers, period. But Oklahoma, and obviously in the state of Oklahoma, is a it's kind of one of those crowning jewels. And for a kid that grew up in Choctaw, which is just a stone's throw away from Norman, that's a big deal. Getting that offer would be huge for him. I think that his supporting cast, supporting system around him are Oklahoma people. So getting an Oklahoma State offer, getting an Oklahoma offer, getting a Tulsa offer is going to mean a whole lot to him. He got a North Texas offer today. That was his first offer. That one was supposed to come last night, but it may have came last night, but it was posted this morning. Oklahoma State is going to come by this weekend, and they're going to have a chance to offer him, and potentially there's a thinking that they probably will. So that could be his first two offers, and from that point on, it looks like it's all going to be downhill for him from here for him, because you don't find very many guys that are as rangy as him. His film doesn't, like, blow you away, but the thing about him is you go, you look at him, you're like, he's got a lot of talent, and you can tell he has no idea what he's doing right now because he's brand new to the game. He hasn't been playing for very long, and you can tell he's going to be better and better. He's one of those I was talking to a source. I said he reminds me of those Florida DBs where they're very raw. You're like, yeah, well, they're just good athletes. But when they get trained in college, they turn into superstars because they're brand new. There's no bad habits. And that's kind of what you're going to have with him. And he's everything Oklahoma wants, long, rangy, fast. He's an 11'6", 100-meter guy. He can dunk. He can jump out of the gym. He's a great basketball player. He's a freak track guy. So there's not much you can't like about this guy. And when he put on his uniform, he looked like he was already in college. And that was one thing I was talking to people. He looks the part already. So that's one thing. And then Gentry Williams was down there, 2022. Depending on what you are, 4 or 5-star defensive back, he's going to be a 5-star no matter what. This guy is amazing athlete, amazing track guy. RJ, you can talk on that all day, every day. I know you can with him. He's a stud. And everything that he does, he's a stud. And he loves Oklahoma. He went down there and he told me it's the first time his mom, even though she's a grad, first time she went on a visit with him. And a lot of stuff happened. And he felt real comfortable. He said the one thing he got to do that he wanted to do was get closer with Coach Manning. He feels like their relationship is growing. He does want to get up to Michigan. He did tell me that. Michigan's a school he wants to get up to. And I got there's another. Arkansas is the other one he likes. So I think those are the three schools that he really likes. I think Oklahoma's way out ahead. But he wants to go see what Dax loved so much up there, Dax Hill, a couple years ago, and why he liked it so much. And he went up there one time. He liked it. He wants to go back. But he loves Oklahoma more than anything. He grew up an OU fan. His dad's an OU grad. His mom's an OU grad. So that's about where it stands with him. But there's a lot more we can talk about, too.
No, I think that the two kids you highlighted are interesting. I personally don't think 11.6 in the 100 meters is that fast. But
no, I'm just saying. He does other things.
No, no.
That's the only time I had.
I was just gonna say that's the only thing that would give me pause. But with Gentry Williams, world class speed. I've always thought that the toughest thing for Oklahoma isn't gonna be Michigan or Arkansas. It's gonna be the Olympics, because he's just that fast. Running 47 seconds in the 400 meters as a true freshman is not normal. All right, people remember Gil Roberts coming out of Millwood at OKC. He wasn't running 47 out of high school as a true freshman. He dropped to 47 as a senior, prep senior, going into his freshman year at Texas Tech. So Gentry's far ahead, and that's going to be, I think, the biggest deal. Playing cornerback versus playing or running in the 400 meters, it's really tough depending on where you feel you land. And as a guy that ran the 400 meters in college, I got to tell you, me personally, I'd be running track, Brandon. But that's just me, right? I also wanted to talk just a little bit about Taylen Shetron and Jacob Sexton.
Oh, yeah. Two new offers from the 2022 class. That makes 4 already in the 2022 class from the state of Oklahoma. You have Gentry Williams. You've got Jacob Sexton from Deer Creek, obviously. You've got Taylen Shetron, and you've got Marion Horn from Broken Arrow.
Yeah,
two of them are defensive backs. One's a wide receiver, one's an offensive lineman. Jacob Sexton, is a offensive lineman from Deer Creek, which I think he's going to be one of the top 150, 100 guys in the country. He's a great offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
I love his film. He plays good competition in the state of Oklahoma, and he does really well. And he was a really good performer at the camp that I went to down in Norman at the OU Elite Camp this past year. Did really well against some really good defensive linemen. Obviously, Talon Shetron. I've been a fan of his for about a year and a half, 2 years now. I've been pushing him pretty hard as far as getting his name out there on Twitter and stuff like that. I love the kid. I think he's a great kid. I've talked to him a whole bunch. He's a really good athlete, really good basketball player. Oklahoma was really high on him. He went down to the elite camp this summer, and I spoke to a few people, and they were like, yeah, he's going to be a guy that Oklahoma looks at, and he's going to be a guy that could potentially be an offer guy. And all of a sudden, here you go. You see he is an offer guy. And you watch his film from this past year, his sophomore season, and it's going to blow you away. He single-handedly beat Jinx. I mean, he single-handedly beat a couple other teams in 6A that Santa Fe probably had no reason beating, but they beat them because of Talon Shetron. He is that good. He's a difference maker. He's a great athlete, and he's a guy that is going to remind – physically, he's not real big and imposing, but he reminds me a lot of CeeDee Lamb coming out, because CeeDee wasn't very big, wasn't very strong, but he continued to work hard and get bigger and stronger. And Talon has that same kind of work ethic, same kind of drive. So he's going to remind a lot of people with his skill set, his body, his frame, everything. Kind of Cody Jackson, CeeDee Lamb type deal.
Right on. Dre Butler was the official visit over the weekend at an Independence Community College by way of Covington, Georgia. 6'5", 285 pound, tremendous bend. And your big sell on him is that he's going to come off the 1 year of playing junior college, meaning he's going to have 4 years to play three.
Oh, yeah. That's very rare.
Mm-hmm.
He went JUCO, and I don't know the whole story why he went JUCO. I know it's because he moved from several different places. He's from Maryland, moved down to Georgia. Now he's at JUCO at Independence, and he is one of the top defensive linemen in the country in junior college ranks. He's a guy that sources told me is a must-get. And I think it's more because his talent's great, but it's more on the longevity. 4 years to play three, he'd basically be there his whole college career and would be able to be taught by Thibodeau and all that. He has an Auburn visit and an Oregon visit. He's already visited Maryland. So those are his visits. Those are the schools. I like Oklahoma's chances. I think they're in a really good spot. Auburn is a team that I think is one to worry about because his family's back in Georgia. So his mom's back in Georgia. They're a big Ravens fan because they grew up in the Maryland area. So he said they were real disappointed this past weekend about the games. Or the weekend prior, obviously. I think Auburn's – I don't know. Oregon is one I always see now that you worry about just because they've been recruiting so well. But to me, Auburn, I think it's an Auburn-Oklahoma battle more than anything else. He took the Maryland visit because he's originally from Maryland. But I really do think Oklahoma's done a really good job pushing him, getting him on campus, and they set that thing up really, really well by making him the first player ever to put on full pads for those picks that they do. Oklahoma has never allowed that. He was the first player to ever do it, and he really thought that was something neat and something different that he got to be the first person, and he really took it as an honor. So we'll see how it all plays out, but I think Oklahoma has a really, really good shot come National Signing Day in February.
I'll add here that it feels like the challenge for him is not going to be like a Vandergrift situation where it's about convincing mom that this is not too far away from home. Auburn is obviously closer to Georgia than Oklahoma is. And it feels like you got to win him because you could end up losing Alfred Collins to Texas. And you want to close out pretty strong with this 2020 class as much as you possibly can, at least.
Yep.
And with visits coming up this weekend to Auburn and then finishing at Oregon the following week, we'll see what he does. I want to take a break, and then when we come back, let's talk about the coaching search for position coach. Might be two, right?
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, we got to talk about it. All right, B, the news last week among the transfer portal madness where we saw four kids go in 3 days, which we'll get to in a second, was Jay Boulware taking the job at Texas, which is his alma mater, where he was an offensive tackle, where he was a student assistant. So after serving, 7 years at Oklahoma dating back to 2013, he goes home to take the tight end special teams job at the University of Texas. Now, two things I think are interesting about this. The first one is OU hasn't even acknowledged it. Like, they're acting like it didn't happen. Right. So there's that. But also the knowledge that Joey McGuire feels like he's in play. And I'm going to give some background real quick on Joey McGuire and then ask you your take on this stuff. But for those of you that don't know, Joey McGuire is a Texas high school football legend, the one of the best coaches of the past 25 years. He is on the level there that Alan Trimble was in Oklahoma out of Jinx. He won 3 state championships, made 4 state title appearances in 14 years, put together a record of 141-42, and went 16-0 in 2006. In 2014, they were a top 10 team across the country. And then in 2017, one of my favorite notes, 28 of his kids play college football out of that 2017 group, one of which, of course, is Charleston Rambo. Rambo gave a quote to the Dallas Morning News that said, "Hey, McGuire is like my dad." And if he knew that McGuire was going to take the Baylor job before that he committed to Oklahoma, he would have followed McGuire to Baylor as a tight ends coach, right? Yep. Add to this, when he took the job,
show you the type of person McGuire is too, that he didn't say anything to try to sway him.
When he took the job at Cedar Hill, he was 31, and they were coming off of 8 straight losing seasons and a record of 18-43 in the 6 previous. And the alumni and fans at the time did not want him to get the job. But his kiddos signed a petition, every last one of them on that football team, saying, "We want Coach McGuire as our head coach." And all they did was win. So when the job came open at Baylor, when Matt Rhule took the Carolina Panthers job, his kids were very loud about make Coach McGuire our head coach. They gave the job to Dave Aranda, and Mac Rhodes and Dave Aranda have not been shy about saying, "We want to keep Coach McGuire on staff." But now it feels like McGuire's going to have an opportunity to either join Oklahoma's defensive staff or stay at Baylor, and we'll see what they provide him there. But interesting times and interesting stuff going on here, right, man?
Yeah. Look, I can't confirm the offer, but I did talk to, and I want to thank Chris Hummer publicly for helping me out on all this. He and I combo dug on this all day yesterday, and I know that he has a lot of connections because he and I went down to the coaches' convention together this past year, and he's a well thought of person. 247 is a really good guy in him. But the McGuire deal is, man, it's interesting. I can't confirm. We neither one of us could get the offer out there, but what we could confirm was, and I spoke to people around Baylor as well that have really strong connections, and they told me, look, he's torn. Oklahoma is after him. They're talking to him about a potential opening on their staff defensive-wise. That I can't say. I don't know if the offer was handed out or not, but I do know that they've talked to him. I do know that he's been talked to, and they said he's torn. He's already turned down Texas. He's already turned down TCU here in the past year, and recently Texas again. And he turned down Texas when he was at a high school at Cedar Hill as well. He joined Baylor instead of Texas. I mean, that I don't. The reason they said they worry about Oklahoma is because he has such a great respect for the staff at Oklahoma and the program. He holds it in such high regard in his mind that's where they think it becomes where he's torn. Now, obviously, he's got a kid that is a quarterback on the team, a walk-on quarterback at Baylor. That's playing a major role in this as well. And most people think he's going to stick with Baylor. So we'll see how it plays out. I think the family tie has more to do with it. One person told me if this kid wasn't at Baylor, they think he would take the Oklahoma job if it was offered to him. So, I mean, that tells you everything right there. His kid being at Baylor has a lot to do with it. I think his kid likes it at Baylor. He may not want to come to Oklahoma, but you can potentially talk a kid into, hey, go learn under Riley. If you want to be a coach, go learn under Riley. That would probably be your best bet if you're a quarterback. But we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. And obviously the running back situation with Bulwer out, DeMarco Murray is a name that keeps popping up over and over and over and over. No matter who I talk to, they're like, I think DeMarco Murray would be a great fit. If Kel Gundy does – now, I'm told Kel Gundy is open to moving to the running back position. And at one point, he told, according to a few sources, that he told Riley, hey, move me back to running back and you can find another inside wide receivers coach. And they just decided to go in a different direction because it really did look like Gundy was going to be moving to running backs. Now it looks like DeMarco Murray is a name that's out there. And, of course, there's other names. But he's a name that comes up more than anything else. So we'll see. I have nothing that I can confirm right now, but I do know those are the two names for the positions that has been out there more than most through people I've talked to.
Also, get it back to McGuire. He came to Baylor as a tight ends coach and then moved to the other side of the ball where he coached defensive ends. And we all know James Lynch was the Big 12's best defensive player last year and the best player on an 11-win Baylor team. It begs the question, which side of the ball would the man coach? And is that the guy that you would want at that position for inside receivers coach or running backs coach? Or would you want to go 6-4 and divvy up that way? Or is Ruffin McNeil even going to figure? Like, that's always been a point of contention. Okay.
I do think Ruffin's going to retire. So that's why that fits. That's why the McGuire thing fits, because he coached the edge, and that's where Thibodeau was coaching at Oklahoma. And guess what? He was the interim head coach.
You mean Ruffin? You mean Ruffin?
Yeah. I'm talking about Ruffin. Yeah. Well, McGuire did the same.
No, you said Tibbs when I thought you meant Ruffin.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I meant Ruffin. Sorry, okay. Ruffin. Yes. Ruffin coached the edge at Oklahoma, and he was the associate head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly to what McGuire was at Baylor. So it fits. It makes sense. And he has such a strong Texas tie to the coaches down there that's what you would want, right? On staff, it would make complete sense.
Right.
And I know that there's some people that think that wouldn't happen or whatever. That some people don't like the move. I get it. I've read it on our board. But some people understand that would be a good move. He's not the most seasoned guy, but he has so much connections, and he's coached some really good players at Baylor that you have to think that would be one of the moves that Riley could potentially make.
I like DeMarco Murray for the same reason everybody else likes DeMarco Murray. Played running back at Oklahoma, was an NFL rushing champ as a running back, played for the Dallas Cowboys, and has had a bit of seasoning on Kevin Sumlin's staff at Arizona. I'm not certain that Murray can recruit, are you?
I think.
I mean, it feels like Kale Gundy would be able to pick up the slack there, but I don't think he should always have to do that.
I think he could recruit. I was told by we got a couple guys down there in the Arizona area that I know, and they told me that he's very highly regarded, kind of a fast riser, and they think that he's a really quick learner on the job. So they think he's going to be a really good recruiter. He seems to be able to get into houses that, you know, other Arizona coaches potentially couldn't get because his name's DeMarco Murray. He's a former MVP, he's a former All-American at Oklahoma, and he's within these kids' lifetime, he's been a big deal. So it makes sense, and obviously he could learn. Running back coach just isn't something that you look at and you go, you know what, you need a huge, huge name, because you have all those guys on that side of the ball that know how to coach, then they can help him do the things that he needs to learn to do. And within a year or two, he could be one of the best recruiters in the country off his name alone and having the OU symbol on his chest. I mean, that could go a long ways. And I think that could be something that Oklahoma is looking at. Like, maybe they want somebody that's going to stick around that loves university, that they don't have to keep going through new staff changes over and over and over. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, right? Because a name that you and I have been batting around, it feels like, for the last 4 years is Chip Viney, who is recruiting analyst. And, of course, Annie Hansen's husband, Zach Hansen, is on staff as a senior offensive analyst. And we both understand that those guys are out recruiting.
Yes.
But Riley has not shown...
That tells you everything you need to know about Ruffin, by the way.
Well, but it also begs the question, is this going to be the first time that Riley has elevated a analyst to position coach that hasn't been either a position coach or a coordinator before? I mean, Diaco sort of counts in this way, but Diaco was also a head coach at one point.
Hansen was a tight ends coach at Kansas State.
That's right. Excuse me.
Position coach. And,
that's right.
Viney was corners at Nevada. So they've done it. I can see them doing it. Now, I think Viney would be the most likely if they decided, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to move Manning over to defensive end outside linebackers because he's coached that so much, and we're going to put Viney at cornerbacks coach. But I don't know that I see that happening just yet. I do think that's a potential of happening. But, again, it's nothing that I would go out and report as, hey, this is what's going to happen right now, because I think Oklahoma is looking to hire outside right now. And is that something – that could potentially cause you to lose Chip Viney because he is so highly regarded as a recruiter. He is back out on the road, and he is doing things that – and probably can do things that nobody else can do because of his youth and just the way that he gets the culture in the players. He just does. He's so good. So I don't know how you go about – if you're Coach Viney, I don't know how you go about doing that and looking at your future – if you don't end up getting that position coach here in the near future, which, I mean, it could happen later on. They could, other things could happen. Moves could happen again to move him out into a position coach. I mean, who knows? They could, what if Oklahoma just went ahead and just decided, you know what, we're going to make you be the inside or make you the H-back and running backs coach to Beamer. And they just leave everything alone and they hire two guys on defense and Viney's one of them. I mean, that could be a potential too.
I think so. But it's also, you bring up a good point. Whenever possible, it seems like Riley has gone outside the program to go get someone to help him, whether it be Shane Beamer, and there hasn't been any movement outside of Bulware on the offensive side of the ball, but Alex Grinch, Roy Manning, Brian Odom, bringing him back in after some seasoning at Houston, Washington State, so forth, so on. I think it's just because we're so familiar, especially with Viney, with these guys, and feels like with Hansen, I mean, having the Hansen and Hansen duo stay at Oklahoma, I think is in everybody's best interest. You know what I mean? Yeah. And not to say that
what they do.
To say that if Zach took a job somewhere else that Andy's gonna leave, because it wasn't that way when he's at Kansas State, obviously. But I think that sense of family and unity also just makes you stronger. But I also get that Oklahoma is not just a national brand. It is constantly competing for a national championship. Whether or not win a semifinal or win a national championship is not really my point. My point is Riley is looking for an edge all the time. And if he thinks he can get an edge by poaching someone else, like, say, Joey McGuire, off of someone else's staff to join his and teach them something new and add value where they don't have it already, I think that's what he's going to do, and that's what a head coach is supposed to do.
Yeah. No, you know that he wants to win a title because, look, I reported this on OU Insider, and it still rings fact. I was talking to a kid, and he goes, you know what? And this is like we're talking about his family and all kinds of stuff. And it's in the middle of the conversation. He goes, "You know what? I was thinking about this today." And I'm close to the kids, so I mean, he's usually really open to me. And he goes, "You know what? This just didn't make sense. But I was going to ask Coach Riley about this anyways. But he randomly goes, "Hey, don't worry about the staff. You know, we're all going to be here. I'm not going anywhere, and we're all going to be signing new contracts soon. Don't worry about it. We're all talking about it. Just relax about that. Don't listen to the media." Like, he goes, he randomly told me that. And he goes, that made me feel more comfortable than anything, because I was going to ask him, but I didn't have to ask him that. And he goes, that made me feel like everything was going to be okay at Oklahoma, and that everything that I had worried about previously, and this kid's not committed. I mean, he's visited a couple of times, whatnot, but he just thought, look, this will make Oklahoma higher on my list because of that. I feel more comfortable. Riley was open about it without me asking him, and I thought that was something that was really neat, and it really said something about the defensive staff. Now, he said there would be some changes to the kid. He goes, there'll be minor twin changes, but nothing you would have to worry about. So, I mean, it was just like one of those deals where it's like, oh, well, you know, what are you going to do? So you can kind of feel the roughing thing coming, but it's a matter of when, not if, I think, more or less with Ruffin. But I just found that an interesting anecdote to the Junior Day weekend, that Riley was open to recruits about the coaching stuff, and with a couple of them without even asking.
Let's take a break. We come back. Let's talk about the effect of the portal entries, which looked much larger than it was. And also, I want to bring up a bit of social media news related.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
To Oklahoma, and I'll explain that when we come back. All right, B. So last week, Thursday and Friday, I want to say Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, actually, we saw, I want to say it was 4 portal entrants in 3 days. Ryan Jones, Levi Draper, Mark Jackson, and Jordan Parker. Now, I know at least 2 of those guys are graduating, in Levi Draper and Jordan Parker. I believe Mark Jackson is too, right? I got that right?
Yes, Mark Jackson is also.
Okay. So, like in the case of Draper, he's going to graduate and have 2 years of eligibility to transfer and play right away wherever he goes. Same thing I think is going to be true of Jordan Parker. Mark Jackson redshirted last year. So all 3 of those guys are going to be hot commodities somewhere. But we've had 2 schools of thought on this. One school of thought is panic because you're losing depth, even if it's not depth that has played a whole lot of football for you in 2019. Iron sharpens iron, and having more guys to go through practice is better than not having more guys to go through practice, especially the quality of player that each one of those kids was, including Ryan Jones. Now,
correct.
The other school of thought on that is dead weight, don't need it, shed it, use the scholarships on somebody else, for which I'm going, you say that like they're just a whole bunch of dudes.
Somewhere in between the middle.
Right, but they say that like there's a whole bunch of dudes out there for them to go get. Now, as much as folks love Oklahoma, luring away some of the prize transfers or just transfers from Michigan, from Tennessee, from Georgia, from Clemson, from wherever, is not as easy as you think it is, because those kids get to be more choosy than many of the prep recruits that we know, just because the rules are different, a little different, and they enter the portal when they enter the portal. So what is your assessment of the guys that went in and what Oklahoma is prepared to do about it?
I think losing – look, everybody knows my relationship with the Drapers. It's no secret. I think losing Levi is big. I think losing – I think Jordan Parker was a big name coming out of the fall camp, and all of a sudden he just stopped playing. I don't know.
Especially with the move back to corner. That was what we were most excited about.
Everybody was talking about how well he was doing. He was a hot commodity at that point in time, and he even played some at the beginning of the year and played fairly well.
And then here came Jade Davis.
Yep, and then everything stopped. And I think at that point in time, I think there was some – I think morale was lost there with him, and that's quite understandable with everything that's gone on with his career to begin with, right? Yeah. With Jordan Parker.
Right.
So you would expect him to lose morale, lose some will, some drive. It's going to happen eventually after you've been injury after injury. You fight back. You earn your way back into the – to playing time, and then some freshman comes in and takes your spot.
Right. Same thing with Mark Jackson. You know, Mark Jackson watched Nick Benito and David Ogwebu go out there at a position that we all thought he would thrive in, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. And even Riley had alluded to him being in the doghouse earlier in the year. And I think we're figuring out some things about Grinch and what he values and who he plays. Everybody uses the term mentality, and everybody uses the term bust. And by bust, I mean you didn't know your assignment on that play. And it seems like you can't come back from bust. Like John Michael Terry played a lot of football before he got hurt, in large part because they said, hey, it's a guy that just didn't have a whole lot of bust. And you could say the same thing about Benito later on, because it was like, hey, that was a guy that was still trying to figure it out in the spring, put it together in camp, and away we go. Some of these dudes that have tremendous talent need to have the opportunity to make mistakes just because they're more talented than others. Because what I tell people about Levi Draper, because I love him and I've always loved his game, he doesn't hurt his shoulder. You're not talking about Kenneth Murray. You're talking about Draper. You know, he's that talented. And the idea of having Levi at the mic and Murray at the wheel was intoxicating to me. Like, I was just like, that's as it should be. That would have been what it needed to be. But injuries are injuries, and playing time is playing time. Murray got the reps and the starts throughout 2017 and basically opened a gap between him and everybody else. And it felt like, for whatever reason, Draper could never get significant snaps at linebacker, even as he played in every game and played on a bunch of teams. And by teams, I mean special teams.
There was a time when at the beginning of the year when everybody thought that he was going to be in the rotation. It looked like he was the first couple of games. He was getting minutes and significant minutes at the Mike linebacker. So it all just kind of flipped on its end, and they decided to go in a different direction. And I guess I don't know the whole backstory, and I'm not even going to try to go there because I don't think there's no point in it. But he's moving on. I think he's going to end up at some big Power 5 school potentially. He's getting some looks, from what I'm told, that some SEC schools are reaching out to him, places like that. So he's going to land on his feet. If not, he could land at an SMU or a Tulsa or somebody like that. I think would be just fine. As far as Jordan Parker goes, I mean, I expect him potentially to go back out west. That's where he's from. And I think he'll probably play, and I think he'll be pretty good. I think sometimes a new place, a new scenery, does wonders for those kids. We've seen it at Oklahoma, and we've seen it elsewhere where kids leave here and they end up playing pretty well. So
Will Sunderland got in trouble, remade himself, goes to Troy. He's one of the better safeties in the country last year. Yep.
So I mean, that it happens. Mm-hmm. It happens all across the country, no matter what. There's transfers that end up doing well. I mean, SMU made a killing off transfers this year. So, I mean, it happens.
Could be Miami this year. Could be Miami. They get all those kids eligible in addition to D.R. King.
Yep. So they're loading up on transfers as well. So, I mean, sometimes change of scenery just does wonders for kids.
So, on the other hand, now we have these scholarships that are available for Oklahoma in the summer. Because, I mean, short of a grad transfer and that window's closed. Because the grace period has come and gone. What do you think that this means for OU going into the summer? Besides, yes, they're going to give all the excuses in March and April about, hey, we just don't have enough bodies. We need to get our 2020 kids here. And I'm like, okay, you got 12 of them in here. So, yeah, but we lost this many to the portal. It happens every year. Like Ty Diarmin, Mikal Jones, Troy James, in addition to the guys that we mentioned. Yeah, it's going to happen. So
you're bringing in guys too. And same, so
it's, right.
It evens out.
Right. So like when they say that, I'm like, you act like none of your 2020 class is early enrolled when really it's more than half of them. So anyway.
The 85 scholarship is a number, but they can have up to 100 four-year period on scholarship.
So right.
At some point, you can have 100 guys on scholarship at one time and not 85.
Right.
So there's more to it than people notice and see just because there's so many different variations of the rules that the NCAA puts out there. That so in a four-year period, you can have 100 guys on scholarship, and that even goes into those guys leaving and you bring in somebody else to take that spot that's going to go to that 100. So they even out. I mean, things are still good. They still have, I think, maybe two scholarships to get to 85 right now. So it's still okay at Oklahoma right now as far as the numbers go. They had overage in numbers at some positions and didn't have enough at others. And luckily, a lot of the guys that are leaving aren't they were at positions that there was a lot of numbers at. So
it's if there weren't, they wouldn't be leaving.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So there's the hits aren't as talented as those guys are. It's not as like Oklahoma can't fill in for that position. And I mean, I've even talked to a couple of people around some of the transfers, and they even feel that same way. They're like, yeah, it's not like they're not going to miss those guys because they're just going to bring in somebody else and keep on trucking because it's OU. And that's exactly the way the transfers see it. They love the university, but they know the university is going to live without them. So it's just the way it is.
Is there something you want to talk about that I didn't bring up?
No, we're good.
Okay. Well, I want to finish by you giving us some dates because people are always looking forward to what's the – because this we called it Junior Day, but there's Junior Day and there's Junior Day. So the next Junior Day is in February, correct?
No, there's another one.
Oh, this weekend?
The next 2 weeks.
Okay. Okay.
Junior Days. They're just doing
– Well, that – yeah, then one's in February.
One. Yeah,
okay.
The last
one, okay. Okay.
Right before signing period. National Signing Day, right before dead period starts. So I think it's February 2nd or around or February 1st, something like that. I can't remember.
That's right. Date, yeah, because February 2nd, I believe, is – or February 1st is that – no, Super Bowl Sunday is February 1st, so it's got to be – no, February 1st is Saturday, so February 2nd is Super Bowl Sunday.
Yep. So they're going to – you'll basically, what's going to happen is for the next 2 weeks, Oklahoma is going to have semi-junior days. They're going to have guys coming in. When I say junior days, it's going to be just like last week where you have – 10, 15 dudes in, and that's it, because they want to make it a priority, and it's an exclusive deal. So they try to keep it as quiet as they possibly can. Because obviously NCAA rules, if a guy shows up and wants to tour, they have to do it because it's a public facility and a state facility. So they try to keep it as quiet as possibly can, and basically one person told me, if they don't have an invitation, they don't know about it, then they weren't invited type deal. So,
which is how it is everywhere, by the way, guys. Yeah, so don't freak out. It's like Oklahoma State does the same thing.
Yes, they keep it as quiet because they want to make sure they give everybody the amount of attention they feel like they deserve while they're on campus. Instead of having 30 guys, they just make it really, really small, and they do it every weekend instead of just having these two big, huge weekends. So it's worked out pretty well for Oklahoma. They usually get a commit or two every weekend that they do these. So I wouldn't be shocked to see another commit next weekend and the weekend after. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it just wouldn't shock me just because of basically it happens more often than not on these junior days.
Hey, B, did you see Jalen Hurts' 40 time?
I did not. What did he run?
4.61.
Whew.
Yeah.
He's flying.
Is it? Because he ran 4.48 out of high school.
Well, he also weighs like 30 more pounds.
Nah, he's 218. I think he's like 216 out of high school.
What's he right now? What'd they weigh?
218.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Your boy's not that fast, bro. Not that fast.
The quarterback's pretty flying.
Well, put it in perspective here is Jordan Love and Justin Herbert ran 4.68.
Not bad.
I know it's not bad, but it ain't. I can't wait. I can't wait for Joe Burrow to run the 40-yard dash so I can collect on my pizza.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. He's got to run more than 4.61
That's right. All you got to do is go 4-6-0.
Okay.
We'll see. Oh, man. Knowing my luck, Joe Burrow ain't even going to run.
Well, then you owe me pizza.
Oh, golly. Come on. No, I'll bring it up to say the Senior Bowl is coming, right? Neville Gallimore is making himself a lot of money this week.
Yes, he is.
Hurts already answered the question of, hey, I'm a team guy first. Everybody knows that, but I'm a quarterback. And I'm like, hey, you talk your noise, son. When you end up Taysom Hill, then.
Yeah, I think that's where he's going to end up, is that right. Taysom Hill.
Unless he just goes out there and destroys people with some sort of passing performance on Saturday to give people pause. But yeah, the tape is the tape.
Struggling a little bit right now.
Yeah, the tape's the tape. Tape's the tape. You know, and I get that. So, like, right now he's fighting with Herbert and Love, who's a redshirt junior, but, you know, graduate and so forth, so on, and Anthony Gordon to basically be the third or fourth guy taken, because it's going to go Joe, it's going to go Tua, and then maybe Fromm, believe it or not, right? Because he's in the mix there. Also, in this thing, I want to say there's one more. Am I missing an OU guy? No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Because CD and Kenneth are considered underclassmen, even as I think both of those guys graduated. I know Kenneth did.
Yeah.
Okay.
So who are you asking about?
I think I touched on them. Because it's just okay. Neville and Jalen.
Yes.
Okay.
I do believe that is correct.
Right. And I'm just making sure I got that right. But I'm excited to see what he looks like. He's been wearing an OU helmet at practice.
He's going to wear an OU the whole time.
Right. Right. And he's going to keep that keepsake, and they're going to auction off helmet divided for special spectators.
The way they talked at the Heisman, I think there's more to the Alabama transfer thing than people are.
Oh, I'm sure there is, because there always is.
Well, they said, well, we're on live TV. They did that twice, like Jalen said it and his dad said it. It's like, well, I think there's more to it, folks. They wanted to open up about some things, and they just didn't want to do it.
All right.
I'm one of these days we're going to find out in his memoir, and it's going to be awesome.
Jalen Hurts ain't going to write a memoir.
I hope he does.
Cool. It would be cool, but he ain't going to do it. He ain't the type. He ain't the type. No, his memoir is going to be the coffee bean.
Yeah.
That's going to be his memoir. That is Brandon Drum. I'm RJ Young. This is the OU Insider podcast. If you don't subscribe to OUinsider.com, I don't know what you're waiting on. This is the season for which my man Drum is at peak performance, revving on all engines, also working on very little sleep. As he's chasing down news, I'm chasing down news. I just wrote about and put up a video about Seth McGowan, who is early enrollee, who is also on campus, so you want to get there for that. Had some stuff
Dalton's
about...
Dalton's got some stuff up, too.
Right, on 2022, guys. So if recruiting is your bag, guess what we're doing right now? You know? Yep.
Coaching changes, recruiting, team news on the winter stuff's coming up here in the next couple of days. We got the gambit coming.
Right on. All right, Bubba, until we talk again, deuces.
All right, see you.